Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 101. Today's topic is spreading the word. We'll be talking about spreading the word in a few minutes, but first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. At the Climate Report, we believe that climate change is real and that, unfortunately, climate change is worse than most people suspect or imagine. This includes people who believe that it's real. Believe me, it is worse than most people suspect or imagine. We need to get busy on it like yesterday, and not least of all, we need to get busy with systemic change. It's not just about a few self-sacrificing individuals setting the example, and 100 years from now, everything will be different and better. We don't have 100 years. We need systemic change. And that's going to require a strong grassroots movement internationally. So what's the status of climate change currently? Well, things are bearing down on us. All the indicators are that there's going to be a huge disruption, not in our grandchildren's lifetime, not in our children's lifetime, but in our lifetime. Scientists with the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, are saying that we have 12 years not to start the process, but to finish the process. Otherwise, we're going to be past a point of no return. So here's a challenging question that I heard recently. What would it look like if we stopped pretending? What would it look like if we environmentalists stopped pretending? What would it look like if our politicians stopped pretending? What would it look like if the business world stopped pretending? And there are some young people, especially people like the Sunrise Movement, who know that this is a situation that we cannot mess around with. And they're providing an example. They're providing an example of high energy and focus and determination, and the rest of us need to follow that example. So solving the problem of climate change requires that we understand the true nature of corporate power. In the humble opinion of your host, big corporations, not small corporations, but big corporations are the devil incarnate. That may sound extreme, but big oil companies, big banks, even big restaurant corporations, big retail corporations, agribusiness, they are leading us down a path that is much greater in scale and culpability than anything the human race has ever seen before. Look, that may sound extreme, but it's not. Look at it this way. There's homicide, there's genocide, and then there's omnicide. Homicide is killing one person. Genocide is killing a whole group of people. But these big corporations are leading us down a path to omnicide, which means everybody dies, and not in the extremely distant future. All this is much closer than we are led to believe, partly because the media itself are big corporations, and it would cut into their profits if we knew that we were in trouble, that we have to do something about it, and what we do about it necessarily involves changing our business environment, which necessarily involves cutting into the profits of the big corporations. First and foremost, the fossil fuel companies, but also the war profiteers, and on down the list. We must understand that big corporations are the power behind the throne in Washington, D.C. And here's something else I meant to say. Okay, so this language may sound extreme, but we're talking about what 97 to 99% of scientists are telling us. So are we going to disbelieve what the overwhelming majority of scientists are telling us? That's why this is not extreme. It is rational to believe we are being led down a path, and the path we're being led down is not a path of our choosing. So we must understand that corporations are the big corporations are the power behind the throne in Washington, D.C. We must understand that corporations are at war with the people of America. They're at war with the people of the world, and they're at war with life on earth. And here's why. Because in the American financial and legal system, there is a mandate for profits. If you're a CEO and you don't maximize profits, you can be fired and you can be sued. If you don't do everything possible to maximize profits, including the destruction of nature, including the purchase of our elected officials, including exploitation of labor, then you will be fired or you will be sued. Another thing about our financial and legal system is that corporations are not allowed to have a long-term plan if the long-term plan conflicts with short-term profits. Those quarterly returns mean everything. So if it means chewing up the rainforest, you do that. If it means exploiting labor, you do that. If it means busting unions, you do that. If it means making people work in fields where they are drenched with pesticides, pesticides known to be toxic, known to be harmful to human health, you do that. If you have to kill off all the pollinators to pursue your short-term profits, you do that, and that is the very nature of the system that we have, where profit is not seen as a good thing, it is seen as the only thing. We've organized our entire system around profits, and we have chosen to give all the power to those who have all the money. We have chosen to give all the power. Okay, so money is power, right? So on that logic, the more money you have, the more power you have. If you're a corporation, the more money you have, the more power you have. Not least of all, it's the power to buy our government. And it's the power to buy foreign governments. And it's the power to pollute. And it's the power to kill pollinators. And it's the power to clear forests. And it's even the power to control our minds, because these big corporations own the media. If they want to get us to focus on gross domestic product year after year after year, they can do that. They have the power to do that. If they want us to get us to focus on economic growth year after year after year, they can do that. And we have bought, as a society, as a culture, as an intellectual class, we have bought into the silliest notions of what our government ought to be pursuing and what our business community ought to be pursuing, what our society ought to be pursuing. We are never invited to think about whether maybe, just maybe, gross domestic product has little to do with quality of life. So this is a course in intellectual self-defense, so we can defend ourselves against the onslaught of corporate propaganda and even laugh at it, because the things we are asked to believe are truly ridiculous. We must learn to separate the rhetoric from the reality so we can be powerful players in a functioning democracy. Emphasis on functioning democracy. And that's what the Climate Report is all about. This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station when he can speak. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. So, as promised, we're going to talk about spreading the word. Now, this is episode 101, and since the very beginning, 100 episodes ago, I was saying that as a movement, the climate action movement, as a movement, we must master the art of spreading the word. We must master the art of spreading the word. Call it marketing if you want, but it's about spreading the word and engaging people. Call it community engagement if you want. But there's something that we weren't taught in school. Even if you had marketing classes in school, even if you've had sales training, even if you've worked for years and years in a corporate marketing environment, there is a set of skills that most of us don't have and we need to. So in this episode, what I'm going to be getting at is one specific proposal that fits in with that. And the specific proposal you will find out is going to be, hey, let's meet monthly and share with each other what we're doing in a way that's somewhat structured and where we can really get into some good substantive conversations wherein we share with each other what my organization or cause is, what it's about, who it helps, why it's important, how can people get engaged, what events are coming up, what's in it for you for being involved. So that's what we're going to get to, a recommendation for a monthly meetup. So I've got 16 items here on a numbered list. Let's see how many we can get through. Number one, what is the situation? Well, the situation is that we have an urgent problem. Climate change is very, very urgent. The situation is also that business, government, and the media have completely let us down. So we need to take it upon ourselves to spread the word virally, person to person, and group to group. The situation also is, as previously mentioned, that people don't understand marketing, and if you don't understand marketing, it's not your fault. Because we live in a corporate culture, everything revolves around corporations. It would be a much better world if people were taught a type of marketing that works, but that's, you know, the big corporations and the powers that be don't want you to know marketing that works. Item number two. So what is marketing? What is marketing that works? Well, not like this is an exhaustive list, but three things. One, you must have a great offer. You must have something that rocks people's world. It's not going to rock everybody's world, but there is somebody for whom your offer is going to rock their world. In fact, not just one offer, but a series of offers that are going to lead them down a path to where they want to go. So you're helping your customer get results that they want. And this includes the nonprofit world. Not least of all, in the nonprofit world, you are helping people to get results that they want in their life. And the third item under what is marketing, it involves a strategic plan whereby your customer moves along that path toward where they want to go. And this includes volunteers and it includes donors. The nonprofits that I've seen don't have a strategic plan. Don't have a concept of a customer journey, helping their customer, their potential volunteer, or their potential donor move along a path toward where they want to go. So what have we got so far? Big problems and not the skills to solve them. Item three, what do we need to solve the problem? We need an understanding of marketing as described above, and we need a way of spreading actionable information virally and rapidly expanding our network. So we need a way of spreading actionable information virally, and we need a way of rapidly expanding our network. Item number four, who should be interested? The people who should be interested are people in all relevant movements. So this show is about climate change, and by extension, other environmental issues like ecosystems and agriculture and the war machine and the things that are, you know, the war machine and other corporations that are at war with our climate, at war with our ecosystems, at war with human society for the sake of their own profits. But what does our movement have in common with people who are for civil rights and economic justice? So let's define what I'm talking about. Civil rights includes racial justice, gender equity, and the rights of LGBTQ individuals. Maybe I'm leaving something out. Probably I'm leaving something out under the heading of civil rights, but those are some of the big overriding categories in the realm of civil rights. In Louisville, we have the Fairness Campaign, a wonderful campaign which brought rights to people around the issues of gender identity before New York City or San Francisco, before Louisville had anti-discrimination on the basis of gender identity before New York City and before San Francisco, according to Carla Wallace. But what does the environmental movement have in common with civil rights movements? And what do both of those have in common with movements relating to economic justice? So in Louisville, we have organizations like the Food Literacy Project, which teaches people where food comes from. And we have New Roots and the Fresh Stop Markets, which help people get fresh, locally grown organic food who might not otherwise have access to it. What do all these movements have in common? What all these movements have in common is that we're putting people before profits. So any movements that are putting people before profits, environmental, civil rights, economic justice includes the labor movement, economic justice includes Medicare for all, economic justice includes $15 an hour minimum wage. What all these movements have in common is that people should come before profits. We shouldn't even be, in the ideal world, we shouldn't even be having to have this conversation. In the ideal world, we shouldn't have to fight so darn hard for the rights of people vis-a-vis profits. But we happen to find ourselves in a world in which profits nearly always come before people. That's why I say that these big corporations and their total focus on profits at the expense of everything else is at war with the people of America, the people of the world, and all of the ecological systems of the world in which we depend on. But I digress. So backing up to the big picture, we're proposing a monthly meetup that involves people who are working for environmental justice, social justice, and economic justice. And all these different movements have a common enemy, which is the enthronement of the profit motive. Not that profits are bad, but we live in a society where profits are everything and wealth accumulation is everything, in that we have given all the power to those who have the most wealth. But we have a common cause. That's the main thing I'm saying. We have a common cause. Therefore, people who are working for environmental justice naturally are interested in economic justice and social justice and vice versa. So, item number 7 under spreading the word, what is the solution? So, I'm proposing a regular monthly meetup that is similar to two very successful organizations. One is Toastmasters and the other is BNI, Business Networking International. So what these organizations have in common is that they inspire people to prepare. So that if you go to a BNI meeting, are inspired to prepare for the BNI meeting before you go. So that if there are 20 to 25 people in that meeting, then there are 20 to 25 people who are prepared for that meeting, as opposed to most meetings that you have ever been to is one or two people are prepared and that's it. There's only so much value you're going to get out of a meeting when only one or two people are prepared. But BNI and Toastmasters, so Toastmasters is a speaking club. So a typical Toastmasters has 15 or so people in it. And some people have long talks and some people have short talks. And there's somebody called a joke master and somebody called a timekeeper. And it's just very organized. And it inspires people to be prepared. And thereby, it helps people build their skills, their speaking skills, their networking skills, etc. So item number 8 under spreading the word, what is being proposed? So what's being proposed is a monthly 2-hour meetup in which the core of the meeting is 8 speakers for 8 minutes each. So 8 speakers times 8 minutes, that's 64 minutes. So if you have a 2-hour meeting, 64 minutes is going to fit comfortably within that meeting, and you can use the rest of the time for social time. You can make it a potluck if you want. You can make it time for networking. But 8 speakers, 8 people are going to show up to that meeting prepared to pitch their organization. 8 people are going to show up to that meeting prepared to answer, what is the name of your organization or your cause? What do you do? Why is it that what you do is important. Convince me that what you do is important. How does it help people in the community? What are the goals of your organization or your cause? What are you trying to accomplish? What have you already accomplished? What programs do you have coming up? What events do you have coming up? Do you have any literature I can look at? What is your website? Do you have social media platforms? And mainly, do you have any events coming up? Because an event is two things. One, an event is an opportunity for somebody to say yes or no to your offer. By showing up to your event or not showing up to your event, they are saying yes or no to your offer. You have to give people an opportunity to say yes or no. It is not enough for them to have this vague notion that you have a good cause. It is not even enough for them to like you. It is not even enough for them to trust you. You must give people an opportunity to say yes or no. And there's nothing better than an event to give people that opportunity to say yes or no. Events are so important, in my opinion. I would submit to you that the value you are contributing to our community is in direct proportion to the number of events you have coming up. If not the actual value, then the perceived value, because they're going to look on Facebook or wherever you post your events. And if they see these events coming up, for one thing, they start to get a feel for what you're about. And they say, wow, they've got a lot of events coming up. Conversely, if you don't have any events coming up, there is literally nothing people can do. But you're going to go to the monthly meetup, and especially if you're a speaker, one of the 8 speakers, you're going to have an event planned because that's the type of thing that you want to be able to share. You want to stand in front of that room and invite people. And when you invite somebody to something, it's not even selling. It doesn't feel like selling. It feels like you are extending an invitation. It feels like you are giving before you expect to receive anything, and that is very positive. You have to give first. You have to give before you ask. And one of the best ways and easiest ways for you to give is to have events that people can attend. Item number 9 to spreading the word. So we're talking about monthly meetups, a 2-hour event in which there are 8 speakers who speak for 8 minutes each, and then there's more of a social time and networking time. So item number 9 is, who is invited? Well, it could be that anybody and everybody is invited, but the people that are going to get the most value out of it are people who have leadership roles in existing organizations. Because here's what's going to happen. If you show up to these meetings on a regular basis, then you're going to get to know people, and you're going to get excited about what they do, and they're going to get excited about what you do. And ultimately, here's the gold standard. Here's how you know that you're making a difference, and that is, are people equipped to refer you? Are people equipped to refer you, and are you equipped to refer them? Equipped means you know enough about what they're doing, and you're excited enough about it that you're compelled to share. So you have the knowledge, and you have the words, and you have the incitement and the enthusiasm to where you want to share what they're doing. You want to invite people to their events. And that's how we get a robust, expanding network. Item number 12, under spreading the word, benefits of this format. What are the benefits of this format? Well, for one thing, it's an environment in which you can feel free to practice your pitch. And people understand that you're going to be pitching to them because that's why they're there. So it's a safe place to practice your pitch. It's a safe place to offer events. It's a safe place to extend invitations. It's a safe place to go and point people to that page on your website that you've wanted kind of been preparing and building. It's a safe place to point people to your social media platform. We could go on and on, but it's a safe place to practice your sales and marketing skills. And the best part of it is that when you gather a group of people who are interested in, are you ready for this? Here's the best part. When you gather a group of people who are interested in environmental justice, social justice, and racial justice, and gender equity, then those are the people who are going to be the most likely to say yes to your invitation. And they are going to be the people the most likely to attend your events. They are going to be the most likely to make a referral because they know you, they like you, and they trust you. I submit to you that this community is full of people who would refer you and your organization if they knew you, because if they knew you, they would also like you and trust you. But we are just not giving one another adequate opportunity to know one another, like one another, trust one another, to know your organization, to know what your organization is about, to know what events you got coming up, to know what opportunities they have to get plugged in. We are not giving one another enough opportunity to know what you have accomplished, what your goals are, why your cause is important, or even what you do. I can guarantee you there are people in this community who know you, but if they are called upon to explain what you do, then they're kind of stumped. We haven't given one another enough opportunity to know what we do and why it's important and how it fits in with the big picture and what people have to gain from being involved. So we've got another minute or two to wrap it up. We've got a situation with climate change where the problem at hand is unspeakably urgent. Also, all the while, we have climate change getting worse and worse. We have a world of people. At home and abroad, we have a world of people whose rights are being trampled upon by a system that puts profits before people all the time, 8 days a week. Social justice, environmental justice, racial justice, gender equity, they're all inseparable. We have a chance to work together. We must work together. And if we do work together, we can create a whole new world. A world where there's true equality, not perfect equality, but something much, much, much better than what we have now. But in order to do this, we need to abandon all traditional notions of what it looks like to spread the word and to engage our community. We can't rely on digital for everything. We have to get to meet people. We have to get to know people. And we can have a lot of fun in the process while creating a whole new world. That's all the time we have. Thanks so much for joining me. Hope you'll come back next time.